No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along with Captain Keith today. We are your crew for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Keith, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic.
All right. So a lot of stuff going on in the news. And, of course, drones are in there. We'll get to that as usual. I'm starting to think this is just drone radio. But that's just because, you know, drone week was last week, according to the mainstream media, as far as what I could tell. It might be tapering off just a little bit, but we do have some new updates in that regard. But I want to talk about something else that's dominating the news this week, and that would be the heat. The forest fires out west. I mean, you know, the world is ending, according to CNN and Vox and everything. It's getting a lot of coverage. And, you know, it's pretty devastating, all the forest fires for sure. But just the, when you look at the map of the western United States right now, I mean, Vegas, where our friend Abington calls home, they're having like 115 degree high temperatures right now. And I don't know, have you ever been to Vegas in the dead of summer like this, Keith, or what?
I have. However, when I was there, it was not quite that hot. I think the highest was maybe 98, 99, something like that when I was there.
Well, that's pretty warm, but that's kind of what we get here in Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, with it's not a thing that I wasn't used to, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, the difference between 99 here in Orlando and 99 in Vegas is like night and day. Here in Orlando, you will literally walk outside and within 5 minutes, it'll be like you've had a shower. Because you will sweat that much because of the humidity. It's not the heat. It's the humidity, Keith. Haven't you heard this before?
I have heard that many, many times.
Yes. Yes. Now, we are going to tie this to aviation, but bringing it back to Vegas, I have been to Vegas in the dead of summer, and I know from firsthand experience why you should avoid it at all costs. I mean, I'll tell you, I flew into Vegas. It was late July a couple years ago, and it was in the evening, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm flying in. It's like 8:30 at night. I'm going to come out of the airport, hop in my cab, go over to the hotel, check in. I'll be good to go. So I grab my bag, and I head out to the cab, and as soon as I walk through the doors, I could have swore somebody was blowing a hairdryer on me. It was insanely hot. And I thought, you know, what's going on? There's something strange. And then I just realized, oh, no, it's just that hot here in Vegas tonight. And that never let up. I was there for several days. And night or day, it felt like literally you were walking in front of a hairdryer with the heat setting to extreme, uninhabitable for humans. You know what I mean? I mean, you've never experienced that yourself, I guess.
No, I really haven't experienced those kind of temperatures. But it kind of explains some things about Abington.
What, that she lives indoors and she never walks outside in the dead of summer in Vegas? Or what do you mean?
Something like that, yeah.
It must be.
Either that or because she's so thin because, you know, she's just constantly, you know, sweating everything out or something. I don't know.
Well, all that dry air, you know, preserve her like a mummy. You know,
yeah, there you go.
Maybe that's it. Maybe there's some kind of health benefit. I don't know. In a preserving kind of sense. But for aviators, for pilots, I can only imagine that this creates problems. I mean, we have humidity and heat in Orlando, and you know, we never usually crack the 100-degree mark, but it is hot, sweaty, and a lot of humidity in the air. And there, it's just the opposite. You don't have the humidity. I guess it can go up to 110, 115, 120 even. You know, I want to talk about how this affects your flying abilities in your airplane, because as the heat goes up, your efficiency goes down, correct?
Well, personally, yes, that is the case for anybody, which is why, you know, air conditioning and stuff is so nice to have. So,
well, I'm
yeah.
talking about but your airplane, not you.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not what you said.
Well,
you said your flying abilities. So,
oh, well, I'm talking about from the airplane, but in reality, that probably does apply to me too. But as far as your airplane, let's take a Cessna 182 and compare the scenarios, say, in Orlando versus Las Vegas. Explain, Mr. Flight Instructor, what would we need to take into consideration?
Well, you have to take into consideration what's called density altitude. And when you get into high temperatures, you're going to have first of all, let's say density altitude is made up of altitude / pressure, your temperature, and humidity all taken together.
Mm-hmm.
So in Orlando, we're basically at sea level. But on a hot summer day, with the temperatures in the mid-90s and high humidity, 80-90%, somewhere in that area, you can have a density altitude of about 1,500 feet. That means that the airplane thinks it's at 1,500 feet and will perform as if it's at 1,500 feet when you're at sea level, or basically 100 feet, which the altitude of Orlando.
Hmm. Okay.
And so it's like you're starting from, you know, one of the hills in South Carolina or North Carolina, something like that. So you're not actually down at the sea level. So when you get into a hot and high altitude airport, Vegas has started to get to higher altitudes. And if it gets really hot, you've got all kinds of performance things that you need to take into consideration. Runway lengths for both takeoff and landing.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to need more runway for taking off. So if you typically can take off in, say, 1,800 feet, it may take you 2,000 to 2,500 feet for takeoff. So runway length is going to be a consideration. And, of course, that is all dependent on your aircraft and the weight and so on and so forth.
Right.
But
the dry air is going to be more forgiving than what we have in Orlando because we have the added humidity, right?
Correct, yes. Yeah.
So
yes.
We're going to have more density, so it'll affect us even worse when it's hot in, where we are here in Orlando.
But in Vegas, they have higher temperatures.
Right.
And so when you get into the really high temperatures, even though the humidity is maybe not quite as high, but it's still pretty high, mm-hmm. you're still going to have major problems. And, you know, you go to places like Denver, Colorado, there's a lot of airliners that in the middle of the day, in the middle of the summer, they can't take off. They'll have to cancel flights or they will be very weight restricted. So they can only sell X amount of seats on the airplane. Because in the airline business, as of today, they have a standardized weight. Every passenger weighs a certain amount, and it's different for a couple of different airlines. But they're actually changing that. They're trying to go to where they have to weigh each passenger or ask you your weight. And if you lie to them, you know, they'll get pretty good at judging what your weight is, you know.
Yeah. They've hired all those ex-carny guess-your-weight guys.
That's right.
They put them to work for the airlines, is what you're saying.
That is correct, yes.
Okay.
And, you know, weight is a huge factor in aircraft, and so it's they really need to know exactly what the weight is for takeoff and for landing. So, you know, it's important to know that your indicated airspeeds are still going to be the same. You're still going to, in your 182
mm-hmm.
or your 172, like you were flying, 172, you're still going to rotate.
Like 65 knots, thereabouts, 63?
No, you're going to rotate before then. Probably about 50 knots, you're going to start to rotate.
Okay. What am I thinking? There's something at 63 on the 172.
That would be like an approach speed.
Okay, we'll go with that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Just take it, reverse it. I got it right.
Yeah. So...
So the indicator, it's
going to be the same that you're going to see in your airspeed indicator, but you're actually going to be moving across the ground faster because there's less molecules of air in that same amount of space
mm-hmm.
for the aircraft to get airborne,
okay.
for it to produce the lift.
So at what point do they, just by doing those calculations of the air density, that's when they may cancel a flight in Colorado, like you said, in the dead of summer? That happens?
Well, they don't actually do the calculations because we've got graphs and charts, just like you do in your 172,
right.
where you calculate the density altitude for takeoff and what your performance is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to use the same type of thing in an airliner.
Yeah.
And they're going to know what the weight is, and they're going to know what the runway length is and what the performance of the aircraft is, and they will adjust the weight accordingly.
Hmm. Interesting.
So,
by kicking off a few of the passengers, say, hey, fatty, you're out of here.
That's it. Exactly. You know, They may not say that anymore because that's not politically correct anymore.
At least not to their face. But
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it does get interesting. And you know, that's one of the things that, you know, we kind of struggle with in Florida is, you know, teaching things like this density altitude. That's good. We can teach that for, okay, hey, you're performing at 1,500 feet, but you don't feel a tremendous difference at that than you would if you go really high altitude. And so, you know, you get into Colorado and, you know, some of the other mountainous areas, there's a lot of performance difference that you can really see. And it's difficult to try and get some applicants to think in those manners when you're taking off at sea level all the time, especially if you're training in the wintertime down in Florida.
And you have the added bonus, though, in the summer, you could, like, fry an egg on your cowling or something.
That way, when you land, you got breakfast made.
See? There's always a bright side. All right, more coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Attention pilots, stay connected while off the grid with the Spot Gen 3 satellite GPS messenger. Right now, get a Spot Gen 3 for half price. The life-saving device every pilot needs is 50% off. No matter where you go, the Spot Gen 3 allows you to contact your family, friends, and emergency personnel with just the push of a button. Go to findmespot.com/plane to learn more and get 50% off. Spot Gen 3, 3,500 rescues and counting.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You gonna ride shotgun with me, help me fly?
That's the plan.
Spread your wings and fly away.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. FTPros.com is a website to go to and learn how to fly with Keith as your instructor. You can do it, or Ed, which he's not here this week because he had had enough of us. Hey, we got to welcome our new listeners through Radio America. We got a brand new distribution network here at Just Plain Radio, and we're happy to have them along for the ride today. And that's going to open up some more passengers for our virtual flight through the latest aviation news and information. And I got a story here to talk about, Keith. And this was one that, you know, after doing this for a few years, I'm starting to get a little bit more familiar with what's going on there, even though, you know, I don't have my flight certificate yet. It will happen. But, you know, as far as knowing what's going on, what pilots have to deal with across the country, whether it's, you know, air density and the weather and that kind of thing when it comes to heat and that kind of stuff. There's other things like sightseeing elements or history. You know, it was National Aviation Day earlier this week, and I guess maybe this was tied into this little story I came across might have been tied into that event. And that was about these large concrete arrows that the post office used before we had like GPS and all that high-tech gadgetry we rely on today. And they evidently there's concrete arrows all over the U.S. Have you seen one of these, or are you aware of this? Because I wasn't.
I have never seen one of these arrows, but I was, you know, from reading history and so forth, I'm aware that they existed. And I think a lot of them have been dug up, but there's, according to this article, there's still some out there.
You know, there was 15,000 of these things placed around the country, and the postal workers, when they were flying letters all across the country, they used these arrows evidently to fly this way or to, you know, create these air corridors for the pilots in the day. And some of them still exist. But I had never seen one. You know, to me, if I was up in an airplane and I saw an arrow at the ground, I would think, what alien created this symbol? Was this like some kind of crude crop circle or what? You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you're traveling through, especially, you know, rural areas, and you come across one of these things, you're like, what in the world is this? You know, they were painted bright yellow because, like you said, they didn't have GPS and all the other nav aids. The first thing that they used were bonfires.
Really?
They would light bonfires, and you know, then if the clouds were too low that they couldn't see, they would light a cigar, and they would smoke a cigar, and when they get to just the end of the cigar or a certain point in the cigar, they'd know that, well, I should be able to see the next one, so they would dip down below the clouds a little bit, you know, and pick up the next bonfire, and that's how they navigated.
That's
and then they
funny.
Put these arrows out.
Yeah.
And if you come across one of these things, all of a sudden you're going to like, man, what in the world is this? What crazy person would build this huge 1,500-foot arrow?
Yeah.
You know, in the middle of nowhere.
Well, it isn't 1,500 feet. They're 70 feet long, painted bright yellow to ensure maximum visibility. And there are like 1,500 of these things placed across the country, outlining 18,000 miles of delivery routes for the U.S. Postal Service. So now, and you just told me
that's,
something.
That's what I meant. I didn't mean there was 1,500 feet long, but I meant there was 1,500 of these, yeah.
Yeah, and I knew what you meant, but I didn't know about the cigar thing. I'm thinking maybe we need to go back to that type of travel arrangement. That's pretty cool. And nothing like a nice big cigar. Well, they won't allow that.
Well, you can't smoke on flights anymore.
Well, yeah. In your private plane,
you can do it in your private airplane.
Yeah,
sure.
Why not? That would be one way to enjoy the festivities a little bit better, and then, you know, smoke out your passenger that you want to just annoy, possibly. But, so that's how they did it back in the day.
I'm sorry, sir. I am just trying to navigate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I need to know when to let down through the clouds.
Yeah. He was like, would you rather choke on my smoke or die? What's your choice? Yeah, no, I don't know. That's just an interesting little tidbit. And I don't know, if you got a picture of one of these arrows, send it to us through our Facebook or justplainradio.com. And I don't know, that'd be a great little fun type of, puddle jumper type trip to do. You know, you got your $100 hamburger. That'd be a fun thing to look, find out where some of these arrows are and go take a look and see if you could find them.
That'd be interesting if we have some of our listeners who know where some of them are to write us and tell us where they're at.
That way
we can post them on our website.
I'm sure they're out there somewhere online. You could Google this stuff. Large concrete arrows across America or something, or U.S. Postal Service concrete arrows. And I'm sure they would they'd pop up there somewhere and you could track them down. That's an interesting thing. Okay, so you haven't seen the concrete arrows. Have you seen a crop circle? Let's talk aliens. Why not?
I have not.
No? But is that on your list? Do you think they exist? Do you think the crop circles are real? I mean, if these are real, why wouldn't the crop circles be real?
Well, because you're talking about aliens.
Yeah, but the crop circles are only going to last for a season. You know what I'm saying? Right now, they would have crop circles of, like, corn and stuff, wouldn't it? What are they doing right now? Are they planting corn, or is it growing like crazy in the summer? It is, isn't it?
It is, yes.
So there could be crop circles now that people could fly and find and blame the aliens for them. Or you could blame the post office.
Well, I mean, you blame the post office for everything, right?
Well, exactly. Why not? Yeah. They got to do something to keep themselves busy from, you know, they got to do something to keep themselves from going postal, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, there's always stuff to go look for, whether it's arrows or crop circles or whatever. I mean,
are you trying to say that you think that the crop circles are real?
No, I've never seen one out in real life. I mean, I haven't flown around as much as you have. So I was just throwing it out there. You know, if you'd ever actually seen one, you hadn't seen the concrete arrows, and they are definitely out there. So, you know, maybe there's crop circles you've missed too. But I just wanted to find out if there was anything you had seen up there that, you know, when you're flying around and you thought, I don't know how that got there. I'm guessing that's happened before, but nothing's coming to mind at the moment, is what you're saying.
No. I can't remember seeing anything, you know. And, you know, keep in mind, when you're flying at 35,000 feet,
yeah,
you know, there's not a whole lot you can see.
Well, that's true. In one of those commercial airliners. True. So the only ones, you're not going to see crop circles. The only things you're going to see are flying saucers, is what you're saying.
Yeah, something like that, maybe. Yeah.
But you've never seen those either.
I've never seen those. Not that I'm going to admit to.
Well, okay. So do you have friends that say they actually have? Fellow pilots that say they have seen aliens and things and that kind of stuff? And you kind of keep that on the down low so you don't lose your certificate or what?
Well, I don't have anybody that I have met personally that has said that.
Yeah.
However,
there's friends of yours that you think are indeed from another planet, present company included.
But, you know, you don't want to say anything about that because you will lose your medical.
Just because you see aliens doesn't mean you're crazy, does it?
The FAA think you might be a little cuckoo, cuckoo.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings. Can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, and co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. We are your crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. We are, you know, we are journalists in a sense for pilots. And, you know, if nothing else, we try to stay up on the stuff and share it with our passengers. Right, Keith?
I mean, absolutely.
That's totally legit. And, you know, we have a lot of folks in the industry that, you know, we hobnob with, whether it's the folks from the AOPA or other aviation magazines and news gatherers and that kind of thing. But I don't know. We got snubbed. St. Martin. Evidently, they had a some kind of press junket for aviation and travel journalists and took them out there to St. Martin. This is where, you know, they have the airport where you can hang out on the beach and it'll blow you over. Which I don't really understand the appeal of that myself, to have jet exhaust sprayed all over you and have you blow you back into the ocean. It looks cool on video and on YouTube, don't get me wrong, but personally, I'm not so sure it's something I need to knock off the list for myself.
Oh, you got to try it.
Have you done it?
Been there, done that.
You have done that.
I have.
So you've been blown back on your arse and into the waters of St. Martin.
Well, I did make it to the water.
You did, but you got knocked.
I did not.
Did it knock
you
over?
I did get blown away, though.
Yeah?
Well, in actuality, what happened was there was a DC-9 that took the runway, and I was standing there with a video camera and holding onto the fence, and he brought the power up, and he just sat there, and I was standing behind him for approximately 2 minutes, and he hadn't let the brakes off to start rolling yet. Now, he was not at full power, but he was probably at, you know, 30% power, something like that.
Yeah.
And the heat from the exhaust was just getting way too hot, and I was afraid that my camera was going to start to melt because my hand was actually burning on the camera. I'm like, I got to get out of here because I'm going to have some problems. So I let go, and there I went, man.
There you went. So you were more worried about burning up as opposed to sprouting a third nipple from all the exhaust fumes that were being sprayed all over your body.
Exactly.
And on that note, we'll take a quick break and come back.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
How soon can you land? I can't tell. You can tell me I'm a doctor.
No, I mean I'm just not sure.
Well, can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
You can't take a guess for another 2 hours?
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come on and fly with me. Let's fly away. They say, come fly with me. Let's fly away.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. All right, so the island of St. Martin brought in a bunch of journalists from the aviation and travel, you know, sectors and said, hey, we want to show you our state-of-the-art airport here in St. Martin. And that's that same airport where you've seen all the videos on YouTube and on the news or whatever, where people set up on the beach because the runway is right adjacent to it. And you can stand there and watch the planes take off and land. And if you hit it just right, they will knock you right back on your butt into the water, blow over all kinds of umbrellas. And I mean, it's like a rite of passage there, or one of the touristy hotspots there in St. Martin for sure. I've seen it. I've witnessed it, but I've never participated in it personally. However, Keith has. And I guess, are you proud to say you've done this, Keith, or just something you wanted to mark off the list, or just happened because you were in the wrong place, wrong time kind of thing?
Well, it's literally a combination of the two. Am I proud of it? No. because, I mean, when you think about it, standing behind a jet aircraft as he's powering up is really kind of silly.
Yeah.
You know, we probably all remember the movie Pushing Tin. And when the guy gets on the runway when the 747 is landing,
yeah,
and he just goes flipping and bouncing all over the place. Well, that's really what you get to see here, mm-hmm, and people get to experience that here at this particular airport.
Right.
And now it is a lot of fun to watch the airplanes come in. There's a little bar next door. They on a surfboard, they mark all the flights, the flight numbers, and what time they're going to come in, so you can see. And it is kind of cool to sit underneath an airplane and watch it come in so close over your head. You know, everybody loves watching airplanes. Whether you're a pilot or not, you love watching airplanes. Of course, pilots just love it even more.
Yeah.
And so it is a lot of fun. You know, you get, you know, some girls get their tops blown off and things
like that
too. You know, so, you know, mm-hmm, you know, I know that's what you like. So, you know, and what guy wouldn't? Mm-hmm. But anyway, it is a lot of fun. But you can get sandblasted as well.
Right.
And so if you're directly behind it, yeah, you're going to wait because, you're going to get blasted.
Well, they got special drinks you can buy there at the bar. And, you know, you pay $15 for a drink to have it spilled by the plane that's blowing everything over.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's part of the charm, or something I guess maybe you need to mark off as the list if you want. Or you can watch other people and film it and try to get on, you know, America's Funniest Home Videos or something like that, maybe. But what about the stuff coming out of these planes? Am I right? Is it some kind of – it's exhaust fumes, isn't it? I mean, it's air,
absolutely,
mostly, but it is exhaust fumes. It can't be that healthy, can it?
Oh, no, of course not. And, you know, I mean, you know, the environment, if we could get rid of all the exhaust, they would love to do it, right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you see airplanes all the time. And, of course, the one I was close to was an older aircraft that did not have, you know, some of the things that we have in place today, which cuts down. Remember, when you were growing up, there was always black smoke coming out of every airplane that took off, and now you don't really see that because they've cleaned it up a lot.
Yeah. Well, now we have those white cloud chemtrails that they say are sterilizing all the people across the country, and that's all on the internet. You can look it up. But, you know, so there's other issues I guess we have. But, yeah, there's still some stuff in there that I would think isn't ideal for you to
it's burned fuel. Come on.
Bathed in. You know, yeah, you were bathed in burned fuel. Like, what'd you do on vacation? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, well,
like I said, it was not my proudest moment.
Okay. Well, you know, at least you did something. You're a little crazier than me sometimes, which is hard to believe. So you did that. But here's the thing. They brought these journalists in to St. Martin to experience their airport, to take a look at it. And I've been there. You've been there. You've seen the airport. It's a nice airport in St. Martin. Yep. A huge international hub to go to other islands in the Caribbean as well. So they take in a lot of traffic. And they've done quite well with the airport. It's very modern, I think, and looks nice and all that kind of thing. But they brought these journalists in for an entire week. And they said, hey, we want you to come check out our airport for a week. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Now, I've been there waiting for my airplane for about 2.5 hours, maybe. And I think I saw every square foot of the airport. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. Then I had time to go out to the beach and watch the people fall over. So I'm thinking, wait a minute. They came out there and, like, toured the airport for an entire week? What is up with that? How did this happen? And why weren't we invited?
Because, well, that's the main thing. Why weren't we invited to that?
You know, obviously, they had to fill...
Because they thought we'd be through it in an hour?
Yeah. Well, they had to fill their spare time because they were there for a week with other activities, I guess, on the island. Because, you know, like I said, you know, the airport tour probably took about an hour. And then after that, you might as well go, you know, hang out at the bar or God knows what else you can do in St. Martin, which, you know, you can do quite a bit. There for sure. So I don't know. Yeah, I salute the other journalists that got in on this scam, and I'm very envious of them, and hope that the folks in St. Martin, if they hear us complaining about this and whining like little girls, that they will consider bringing Just Plain Radio to experience it, because we could cover this way better than any of those schlubs, couldn't we, Keith?
Think we just have.
Well, we did, but not effectively. It's not the same as being there. So, you know, in the tourism office of St. Martin's, understand, we need to be there for at least a week to cover the airport. That'll take about an hour. And then we'll stay there for an entire week. Okay? So there you go.
Just to make sure we get everything.
Right. I mean, you know, we don't want to scare. We're very thorough in our coverage here. Just Plain Radio. That's just what we do. Those are the sacrifices we're willing to make, right, Keith?
We will not leave a grain of sand unturned.
Okay. All right. So that, you know, aviation news and information sometimes, you know, has to, you know, you have to make these sacrifices of travel, and we're just saying we're willing to do it. Now, here's some other stuff that we can't go with this company yet, but we ought to share. You know, ever since the Concorde, and, you know, when we were up there at Air Venture, you know, the Concorde got brought up. I don't know, wasn't there a mock or a piece of the Concorde in the EAA museum? Wasn't there something there? I vaguely remember, or maybe we were just talking about it. But there was something about the Concorde and supersonic travel, and, you know, they quit doing the, you know, flying the Concorde because it wasn't financially feasible to do so. It just cost too much money, even though it was quite convenient to get from New York to London in such record time. And ever since, they've been talking about coming up with an alternative that might be more palatable financially and efficiency-wise. And there's a company in Boston that says they have the magic sauce, that they think they can do this. What do you think, Keith? Is this going to happen?
Well, yeah, I think it will happen. And I think the way our world is today with having to have everything fast and now, I think it's going to happen.
Well, the problem, though, has been, you know, going so fast has burnt too much fuel too quickly and made it totally inefficient. And so the carriers have been going to bigger airplanes and more capacity, not necessarily super fast, but bigger carrying capacity. But these guys are going the other route, and they think they have a formula that they can create a corporate jet that could take 18 people at 1.6 times the speed of sound. I don't know. What was the Concorde? What, do you know what the speed of that was?
I don't off the top of my head.
Yeah,
no.
I mean, I think this it was comparable to that, at least, or something,
yeah,
or about the same, or whatever. But they hope to have this accomplished by 2021, and then they'll have these 18 seaters that will travel at faster than the speed of sound. The problem has been the sonic booms are an issue too, on top of the efficiency and that kind of thing. But evidently, these guys have an idea of how to minimize that and make the numbers work. That would be a good thing, I guess, wouldn't it?
Well, I think it would. I mean, just think of, you have a corporation here in the U.S. who wants to do business with, say, London, and, they got to be able to get there quickly. Yes, there's a lot of technology today with, video and everything else where you can video conference and all that kind of stuff. But what about getting there and have that personal one-on-one view, and you could do it in 2 or 3 hours? Why
Which
not?
Brings us back to St. Martin. So what we're going to do when they want to have their next press junket, we'll fly this to St. Martin. How's that sound?
Works for me.
We solved a problem that didn't exist, but that's just what we do here at Just Plain Radio. More coming up.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Any of you boys seen an aircraft carrier around here?
Night by night, away from here. Change my life again. Night by night, goodbye, my dear. Ship is a-coming, I'm a-just captain saying.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, and Captain Keith, we are your crew navigating the latest aviation news and information. All right, so you looked it up during the commercial break. The Concorde did like what? How many times the speed of sound? Two something?
2.04.
Okay, so it might be slightly faster than what these guys in Boston hope to execute here in 2000 or by 2021. And we'll have to wait and see if they succeed. I think it would be good, but the thing holding back the Concorde was cost. But I guess, that sonic boom issue is a problem too, though, I guess.
It is.
So technology-wise, do we have any problem going that fast? I mean, all the fighter jets can do that, as we witnessed firsthand when we were at Air Venture, and they're making your ears bleed, after the second day or so.
They weren't going faster than the speed of sound, but
they were just being loud.
They were just being loud.
But could they?
What you were hearing was the afterburners kicking in. But,
oh, okay.
So,
but wait a minute. Yeah. They're faster than the speed of sound because they'll be, you know, over your head and you won't hear them for like a half a second later. So that means they're faster than the speed of sound. They're like Superman in the sky. Come on.
They're getting awfully close, but they're not actually breaking the sound barrier.
Okay.
And because,
when they break it, that's when you get that big, massive boom that like we used to get here in Florida with the space shuttle.
That is correct.
Okay.
And you notice, if you remember, with the space shuttle, we would get two, one for the front and one for the back.
Aha.
And the reason why is that the space shuttle was allowed to do it, an aircraft or not, is because of the altitude that it was doing it at. If you do it at a lower altitude, like an aircraft would, you're going to start breaking windows and other things start happening. So, so
that's a problem. Yeah.
Yes. Now, the military, in certain scenarios, can break the sound barrier over the continental U.S., but the Concorde used to go into places like Washington, Dulles, Miami, you know, the coastal airports around the country it could go into, but it could not go across. You know, it couldn't go from, say, New York to L.A. because it could not break the sound barrier over the continental U.S.
Hmm. So by the time it got back to shore or its landing airport, it had slowed down out of the sound barrier level
correct.
Or threshold or whatever?
That's correct.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, you know, there you go. So, I don't know. These guys in Boston, there's something on here that says that they have a design that they think will minimize the sonic boom issue. So, you know, I just wonder, though, as far as the technology that we have available to us today, it is possible for the military especially to break the sound barrier without much trouble. Am I right or wrong?
Oh, yeah. They do that all the time.
Okay. So it's very doable right now just because of the noise and financial reasons putting it into practical measures, I guess, for commercial
correct.
Aviation. All right.
Right.
Well, which brings us back to bigger is better, I guess, because, you know, Airbus... You know, is they keep coming out with a bigger and bigger airplane. And, I mean, our buddy Jim, he flies, what was that, a
787.
787. And that's the biggest one right now, right? Or is it? Or is there a bigger one already?
No, the Airbus A380 is bigger.
A380, okay. Well, then I'm looking at, they got the Airbus A350 XWB wing is being constructed right now. This is going to be the first carbon fiber wing made that is 32 meters long. And it's being assembled in England, or I believe, someplace. But it's going to be the largest carbon fiber wing in civil aviation today. And, are the other wings on these things made of carbon fiber, or this is a special thing they're doing because it's so light? They're not all carbon fiber, are they?
No. Traditionally, aircraft, you know, they started out as fabric.
Yeah.
And then they went to aluminum.
Right.
They were wood with fabric over the top, and then aluminum, because aluminum was lighter.
Yeah.
And now they're trying to go to the composite materials.
Right.
And so the Boeing 787, the Dreamliner that Jim flies,
yeah.
is a largely composite aircraft, but it's not as composite as they wanted it to initially. They wanted to make it all composite, but
when you say composite, that doesn't necessarily mean carbon fiber, though, does it?
No.
Right. So no. carbon
But they're
fiber.
All looking to go to lighter,
yeah.
more durable product.
Mm-hmm. So that's what they're doing with
it
this.
Goes back to the weight issue that we were talking about at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
You know, you got to cut down the weight so you can carry. I mean, they want to carry the highest payload because that's how they are going to make their money. So instead of going really, really fast, they want to carry more people.
Yeah.
Maybe go a little bit slower and not have to go as many times.
True. Yeah, and I think they're planning to put like 1,000 people in this plane. Does that sound right? I thought it said like Airbus. I don't see it on this material I'm looking right now, but I thought I had read that this one was going to be like 1,000 person seater or something ridiculous like that. Is that even possible?
That would be ridiculous. I mean,
do you know what the numbers are on the 787? How many people are we talking as it is? You know, basic or raw, you know, ballpark. I mean, maybe that was just the number, like the A350-1000. You know,
I don't even know what the A380 holds, but I know it's a very, very large number. And
it's a big ass plane. We know that.
Yep,
you look at it and like, there's no way in hell that's going to fly. And then it takes off.
And of course, it depends on the configuration as well.
As far as what? What do you mean?
Well, how close together do they put the seats? The Europeans can really pack them in there because typically they're shorter than Americans are.
Yeah, well, okay. Goes back to that weight that the FAA is allotting per passenger. Here in the U.S., it is creeping up to, what, about 195, 210, thereabouts? There, it's like 120 max. They're skinnier. We're just fatter.
The Boeing 777,
yeah.
314 to 451 passengers.
Okay.
Depends on how you configure it. You know, how many first-class seats do you have?
But in the Philippines, that translates to what? 500 to 600 people? Is that what you're
Something
trying to
like
say?
Something like that, yes.
We'll end the show on a racist statement. So, there you go. We kid! All right, till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.